This week is what many Christians and professing Christians call Holy Week, and of course, this coming Sunday is recognized as Easter Sunday or Resurrection Sunday. What I hope to do in this episode is to encourage you to lead the members of your family to focus their attention on the victory that the Lord Jesus Christ gained, to meditate, to think about, to reflect on, and to rejoice in the eternal and complete victory our Lord Jesus Christ gained for us when he stepped out of that grave. Through wisdom is an house builded, and by understanding it is established. And by knowledge shall the chambers be filled with all precious and pleasant riches. Hi friends, welcome to the Treasure Box Books podcast. I'm your host, Nathan Ching, a redeemed child of God, happy husband and homeschooling dad, and lifelong lover of good books. Fellow dad, are you eager to fill your children's hearts with truth and faith and wisdom and courage? Do you long to build growing, lasting, God-centered relationships with your family? If you're ready to inspire and equip your children to walk with God by learning and living together, then come join us on our journey and let's go find the treasures in books. This week is what many Christians and professing Christians call Holy Week, and of course, this coming Sunday is recognized as Easter Sunday or Resurrection Sunday. And this time of year, every year, there arises the discussion about whether to use the word Easter or not, whether the Lord Jesus died on Wednesday or Thursday or Friday. And I hope it's a relief to you to know that we're not going to discuss these questions in this episode. Far brighter minds than I have debated these questions. But what I hope to do in this episode is to encourage you to lead the members of your family to focus their attention on the victory that the Lord Jesus Christ gained, to meditate, to think about, to reflect on, and to rejoice in the eternal and complete victory our Lord Jesus Christ gained for us when he stepped out of that grave. Of course, when we think of the Lord Jesus winning victory for us, thinking about his being raised up from the dead is the obvious victory, but maybe you noticed in the show notes banner that the illustration portrays not only the Lord's empty tomb, but also three crosses. That was intentional, because the victory that the Lord Jesus Christ gained for us includes more than his resurrection. His victory for us also includes his cross. What does that mean? In the excellent little book, Simple Sermons on the Savior's Last Words, W. Herschel Ford writes about each of our Lord's seven sayings from the cross, with a chapter on each, and he calls chapter 6, which is about the sixth word from the cross, Christ's cry of triumph. J. Oswald Sanders, in his superb work, The Incomparable Christ, calls the sixth word from the cross the word of triumph. And he quotes F. W. Krumacher, an 18th century European pastor, as saying, "At these words, you hear fetters burst, and prison walls falling down, barriers as high as heaven are overthrown, and gates which had been closed for thousands of years again move on their hinges." And J. Oswald Sanders himself wrote, with ample justification, "This has been called the greatest single word ever uttered." I feel inclined to agree. My Bible commentator mentor, Dr. Harry Ironside, in his 892-page masterpiece of a book, Addresses on the Gospel of John, wrote, "That was his cry of triumph." Did you notice a common theme in how these men described this word the Lord spoke from the cross? triumph. It was a word of triumph, or a cry of triumph. Triumph? Victory? From the lips of a man about to breathe his last breath and give up the ghost on a Roman cross? To understand the word, we have to know first what it was, and second, what it meant. Dr. Ironside informs us, "It is finished." Three words in our English Bible, only one in the Greek Testament, tetelestai. He had finished the work the Father gave him to do. He had glorified God to the full in the place where he had been so terribly dishonored, and now, because of that finished work, God can be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. And so the message of the gospel that goes out to all men everywhere today is this: the work that saves is finished. Jesus did it all upon the cross. Dr. Ironside goes on to tell us, as he explains John's account of the story, "When Jesus cried, 'It is finished,' he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. He did not die from exhaustion. He dismissed his spirit. We cannot do that. How many suffering ones have wished that they might? But when Jesus settled the sin question, when he had drunk the cup of judgment, when he had glorified God in the putting away of sin, he cried, 'It is finished,' and he dismissed his spirit." The good bishop, J.C. Ryle, wrote, "He had at length offered up the perfect sacrifice, of which every Mosaic sacrifice was a type and symbol, and there remained no more need of offering for sin. The old covenant was finished." It's said that when Cecil Rhodes lay dying, his last words were, "So much to do, so little done." What a totally different perspective our Lord had of his life. Everything the Father entrusted him to do, he accomplished, and therefore his life was the only perfectly successful life ever lived. God entrusted to his beloved Son the rescue of humanity from sin, and Jesus Christ, the Son of God, perfectly effected that rescue. An unknown author has written, "'Tis finished,' was his latest voice. These sacred accents o'er, he bowed his head, gave up the ghost, and suffered pain no more. 'Tis finished, the Messiah dies, for sins, but not his own. The great redemption is complete, and Satan's power is overthrown." Yes, the Lord's suffering on the cross, his death on the cross, was victorious. Hebrews 2, verses 14 and 15 inform us, "For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is, the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. He, hell and hell, laid low. He, death, by dying, slew." And that, my friends, is the victory the Lord Jesus Christ won for us. And that's just part of the cross part of the story. There's actually more. So if Paul Harvey were telling this story, he might say, "And now, the rest of the story." For the rest of the story, here are some portions from John chapter 20. "The first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early, when it was yet dark, unto the sepulchre, and seeth the stone taken away from the sepulchre. Then she runneth and cometh to Simon Peter, and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved, and saith unto them, 'They have taken away the Lord out of the sepulchre, and we know not where they have laid him.' But Mary stood without at the sepulchre weeping, and as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulchre, and seeth two angels in white sitting, the one at the head and the other at the feet where the body of Jesus had lain. And they say unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? She saith unto them, Because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him. And when she had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing, and knew not that it was Jesus. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? She, supposing him to be the gardener, saith unto him, Sir, if thou have borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away. Jesus saith unto her, Mary. She turned herself, and saith unto him, Rabboni, which is to say, Master. Jesus saith unto her, Touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father. But go to my brethren, and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father, and your Father, and to my God, and your God. Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord, and that he had spoken these things unto her. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst, and saith unto them, Peace be unto you. And when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Then said Jesus to them again, Peace be unto you. As my Father hath sent me, even so send I you. I love how the old hymn rejoices in the resurrection of our Lord when it says, Lives again our glorious King. Where, O death, is now thy sting? Once he died our souls to save. Where's thy victory, boasting grave? Well, that, my friends, is the rest of the story. The victory of payment for our sin was completed when the Lord Jesus Christ died on the cross, as evidenced by his cry of triumph, It is finished. And his victory over death was demonstrated when he rose from the dead. And together, these two accomplishments, the death of our Lord and his resurrection, round out the gospel message. Because the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 15, verses 3 through 4, declares what the gospel is. He defines the gospel for us. He wrote, For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures. So, what can we do as dads to help our families focus on and rejoice in the Lord's victory over sin and death and over the devil during this resurrection season? Here are 8 suggestions that you and I as dads can follow to help our families. Number 1, we can, of course, read to our families about the Lord's death and resurrection. And where do we do that? Well, read the 4 gospel accounts and read some of the authors like those mentioned in this episode. And you can find the complete list of all these tools at treasureboxbooks.com. Navigate to episode 35, Rejoice in Jesus' Victory. Number 2, we can provide material about the death and resurrection of Christ for our children to look at and to read for themselves. For younger readers, there is a really good little book. It is the Gospel of John retold in poetic form with very good, very conservative, very simple illustrations. It's published by Concordia House Publishers, and the line of books is Arch Books. The book is called The Story of the Empty Tomb. When I was teaching overseas and working as an English teacher, I bought several copies of this and gave it to students during Easter time as a way of putting the resurrection story in their hands. Very good little tool. For teens, I'd like to recommend a book published by Good Seed International. If I remember correctly, it's written by John Cross, who also wrote The Stranger on the Road to Emmaus and the book called The Lamb. For teens, a good book would be this, What Are Christmas and Easter All About? Published again by Good Seed International. And you can find links to both of these books on our website, treasureboxbooks.com. The third suggestion that you and I can follow to help our families focus on Christ's death and resurrection would be assuming that the churches that we attend are Bible preaching and Bible teaching churches, and I'm thankful that mine is, we should be taking our families regularly to hear the Word of God expounded. Because any pulpit that faithfully proclaims God's Word will often come back to the gospel story again and again. That's where our life is. 1 Corinthians 1:18 makes this very plain. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. The fourth suggestion is we can memorize a passage of Scripture about Christ's death and resurrection together. This month in my family, I've been reading Luke 18, verses 31 through 34, with or to my family just about every morning at the breakfast table, and usually explaining a word or a short phrase from the passage. Suggestion number five, we can listen to biblically sound, Christ-honoring music, whose lyrics and music exult in Christ's finished work and resurrection. Now, we usually emphasize books on this podcast, but what would our homes be without quality recorded music? The fact is that wherever we go, we're bombarded with music, and most of the time, it's not the kind that builds our faith or encourages us to walk with God. So I'm convinced that filling our family's hearts with good music, Christ-honoring music, is vital. And you'll find a list of links for some great music about the gospel in the show notes. Suggestion number six, we can sing songs about Jesus Christ, our Lord, together. Colossians 3, verse 16 basically tells us to do this. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. And it tells us how. Teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. How do we do this practically? How do we teach and admonish one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs? Well, use the hymnal your church uses, or search for hymns on an online hymnal like hymnary.org. In my home, we often sing from the Rejoice hymnal published by Majesty Music. We have visited churches that use the Bible Truth Hymns hymnal, and that also is an excellent hymnal. And so there are many good sources to help you and your family sing together about Jesus. Suggestion number seven, we can thank the Lord for His victory. Now, we as dads can do this, and in so doing, lead our families to do this. We need to lead our families in prayer and thank God for giving His Son to die for us and for raising Him from the dead. We need to let our families hear the genuine gratitude in our voices as we speak to God. And dads, this is part of our role as leaders in our home. We can't expect our children to wake up someday and know how to talk to God. We have to model it for them. And allowing our children to hear us thanking God specifically for the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you, Father, for giving us your Son. Thank you for sending him to die for us. Thank you that Jesus died on the cross for our sins and rose again the third day. We need to let our families hear us praying like that and thanking God for his Son like that. Suggestion number eight, we can pray for and look for opportunities to share this life-changing news with someone else. Romans 10:13 is a precious promise. It says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And the next verse is a convicting challenge. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? So, dads, look for some opportunities and pray for some opportunities to share this life-changing news with someone else. If your church has quality gospel tracts with a good biblical gospel message in them, use those. If your church does not have those, check out our website and you'll see some links to some tracts that our church uses, and you could use those or something like those to help spread the message of the gospel. My dad and my mom both have for years always made it a point to carry gospel tracts with them. My dad in his shirt pocket, and my mom always in her purse, a small stack of tracts. And she has been great about this. Whenever she buys something, she makes the purchase, she gets her receipt, and she hands a tract. She offers a gospel tract to the cashier and says something like this: "Here's some good news for you today." And she says it with a smile, and any of you that know my mom know that she has that irresistible, sweet smile. And how can you say no to that? They have been a tremendous example to me, and now it's been my habit and my practice that everywhere I go, my first thought is, I need to have a gospel tract ready. We will not always have an opportunity to sit down and talk with someone or open a Bible. That actually doesn't happen as often as I wish it would, but we have opportunity after opportunity to give gospel tracts wherever we go, and our children pick up on that. Sometimes I will go through, I admit, I sometimes go through the drive-thru at Dunkin' Donuts, and usually I've got one of the children in the car with me, and it's an excuse to buy a donut for the child and for me to get my coffee. And there have been times that I did not offer a tract to the cashier after paying, drove off. And my children, I'm thinking of one of my children in particular, I think it's the five-year-old, who would say to me, "Daddy, why didn't you give her a tract?" Well, what can I say? What can I say? I understand there are times that we don't. There are times that they seem too busy to want to take anything, and they rush right back into their window or they close the window. But I was challenged. I have been challenged by my children saying that to me because they are beginning to understand already that wherever we go, we need to be looking for ways and opportunities for witness. Witnessing for the Lord Jesus Christ, sharing that life-changing message of Jesus' death and resurrection. So, there are 8 practical ways that we can direct our families, dads, to rejoice in the victory the Lord Jesus Christ gained when he died for our sins and rose from the dead. But all that I've said really is meaningless if you yourself don't personally trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Coming back to Dr. Harry Ironside, who wrote about the Lord's word from the cross, "It is finished," in his commentary on the Gospel of John, he closed that section of that book with these words: "Do you know this blessed Savior? Have you trusted him for yourself? Oh, if you have not trusted him, I plead with you, bow now at the foot of that cross. Confess yourself a sinner. Tell him that you will put your heart's confidence in him who died to redeem you, and go forth to own him henceforth as your Lord and Master, as well as your Savior." If you heard something helpful today or feel better equipped to lead your family, maybe you have a friend who could benefit from this episode too. Don't keep it to yourself. Hit share in your podcast app or take a screenshot of this episode and share it with a friend. Or just post a link on Facebook to treasureboxbooks.com and let your friends know that this episode might encourage them. You can find any links and resources mentioned today on the episode page linked below, or just head over to treasureboxbooks.com and sign up to get our newsletter to keep you informed about future episodes and product releases. And if you've got a book recommendation or experience or idea you'd like to share with other dads, send me an email. My address is nathan@treasureboxbooks.com. I'd love to hear from you. Until we meet again, keep leading your family to find the treasures in books.